Blog Talk Radio. how beautiful.
Well, let's just start with a prayer of gratitude for our mothers, and then we will go to our introduction and get this day started. I'm so excited, and I pray that you are also. So our good and gentle God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray in gratitude for our mothers that may call in on this line tonight, that may visit us in the chat room, that may visit us weeks and months and years later as they look. For every mother and for all the women of theory who have joined with you in the wonder of bringing forth a new life. Mothers come in all kind of shape, forms, and fashions. And you, our Heavenly Father, who became human flesh through a woman, you grant to all mothers the courage that they need to face the uncertainties of our future, the things that come about in our life as we raise our children and birth to death. They're still our children. And you have assigned us as mothers. So, dear Father, we ask that you give them the strength to live and to be loved in return. And we're not asking for any perfection. We know it's no perfect mothers, but they're human. And so we ask that you give them the faithful support of husbands and family and friends as they care for the physical and the spiritual growth of their children. Give them joy and delight through the trials of motherhood, and there are many. And most of all, dear Father, we ask that you give them the wisdom to turn to you for help when they need it the most. This and other blessings we pray in your darling son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I am so excited, so excited, so excited. This is turning the Martin on it, Women of Christ. And I am Minister Vaughn Dumas out of San Antonio, Texas. And I'll be introducing you to Sister Sharonda and also to Sister Lolita, which makes up the triangle for Tri-Anointed Women of Christ. We have a chair at the table available for you. We welcome each and every one of you. Like I said, whether you call in live now, that live call-in number is 516-666-8431. We're here for 2 hours. You are available to just get what it is in your spirit out tonight when you have a seat at the table. My prayer is that when you get up from the table tonight, it's something different about you. Hallelujah. If you have burdens when you sit down, that you get up a look, your load is lightened for you. Hallelujah. And so we just thank God for this opportunity to sit together and we get to express something. Now, when we was talking about up the topic of mothers, because we're coming up on approaching quickly Mother's Day, and Sister Lolita was just saying that she felt it in her spirit, like, who's your mother? Who is your mother? Who is your mother? And that just started to bring some body. And as I spoke to people throughout the week, we all say Happy Mother's Day, and we just kind of let it go. But we really want to get down to you. God is not wanting to leave you the way that you came. Nothing just happens. And he looks beyond the outside. And he goes inside and looks at your heart. So he knows your deepest thought. Even though the outside you may be saying one thing. But we want to get to the inner core. And so it may not always be good. Like I said, there is no perfection when you see the word mother. Parenting is not on our Heavenly Father to get us through. And so we know that there's no perfection. So I've heard different stories about, you know, you don't want to hear my story, Minister Vaughn, because I don't have that Happy Mother's Day story that you're probably looking for. And it's just so with gentle love that I can just reach back out and tell you as a reply, I'm not looking for anything I want whatever you bring to the table to just lay it here. I want you to know that there's nothing too big that you can't present to
me.
Man. He cares about you. We understand that there's not a lot. It's not everybody. Even with a great mother experience, there's still some negativity. There's still some opportunity. Hallelujah. So I want you to know that you're not alone. You're not alone. I had a young lady, mm-hmm. and she just kind of broke into tears just to hear the words that you are not alone. She said, I feel like I am so many times. That's why I told her, this podcast is for you. This podcast is for you. So I want you to know, my sister, she just in the last hour just reached out to me and said, I'm not going to be able to do it, Minister Bond. And I told her, you know what, that's okay. Come back and listen to this in a month from now. Maybe you'll be able to then, whenever. But whenever you're needing to reach out to the Tri-Anointed Women of Christ, we are available, not just on this podcast, but you can reach us anytime. So I, at this time, just want to give you my personal number. If any of you out there need to reach out, you can. You can reach me at 210-793-1370. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So let's go ahead and get started.
Minister Vaughn, excuse me. Minister Vaughn, before you get started, we're having technical interruptions. I don't know if it's your earpiece or is it your microphone, but if you could, because you're cutting in and out quite frequently.
Okay. So see, like when you were speaking there, you broke up too. Okay. I didn't get to hear everything that you said, but let's try something different here.
Go right ahead.
Just give me a second. And just let me know if it sounds any different.
You're echoing now.
Yeah, so that actually gave an echo. Is it anything different now?
Sounds great. Give your phone number out again, Dawn, and see if that helps.
All right. And the phone number is 210-793-1370.
Great.
And this is actually going through the podcast of voice line instead of the call-in. This is the podcast direct. Different times when I actually just called in. So if it does not get any better, again, just let me know, and I may have to just call in and go through there, okay?
Okay.
All right. We're going to further along. We're going to introduce to you first. We're going to start with Sister Lolita, and we just want you. How are you doing today, Sister?
Great. I'm so excited. This is just such a dear topic to my heart. I just pray that everybody receives it as much as I received it. And so we just want to just move forward and go forward and be heal and help someone that maybe who think that maybe they're worth because their mother wasn't around, that they're still complete in God and lacking nothing.
Amen. Amen. And then the other point of our triangle is Sister Sharonda. How are you doing, Sharonda?
I'm good, Bon. I can't complain about anything because God has been tremendously, exceeding abundantly. He's done more than I could even ask or think. So there's nothing I can complain about because he's so wonderful.
Amen. Amen. He's just that good. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. All right. Well, you know, just from us as we speak about, it's just so many different things about who is your mother and what's the real meaning of the word mother. I know sometimes mothers can be women that's in authority, And that may be a family member or it could be a friend. And then we look at a mother's role sometimes. I just want you both to just talk a little bit about, first, what's the real meaning of mother without jumping too far ahead of ourselves? And then a mother's role. I mean, I think we all can agree that a mother plays a multiple role. Some people that has done very well in life and look back at their mothering. We can look at some of the people who maybe have had a lot of opportunities and turned the wrong way and went totally negative in their life. And we can look at the mothering there. We talk about the lack of touch and the lack of love from that mother and how that affects the development of a child. But we can agree that there are multiple roles in a child's development that comes from that mother. And as she's up. Every developmental world, whether it's the social, emotional, physical, their cognitive experience, all of that comes from that mother's love. So let's just start with just a little bit about what do you see as a mother's role, or what do you see as the real meaning of mothers? Anyone can jump in.
Well, Vaughn, right there, I just thought about the real meaning of a mother. You know, the world would say she's just a female parent of a child, or maybe a woman who inhabited or performs the role of bearing some relationship to their child or children. But I think my definition of mother is just someone who treasures you with love. That means that they wrap love around you. They speak love to you. They walk in love. Just love. When you think about it, just love. Also, someone who loves themselves. So, because in order to love you, they have to love themselves and the role that they have been placed in, which is being a mother.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. And sometimes you're right about that, because sometimes the expectation of mothers can be so high that it's hard for them to love themselves, or hard for them mothers to admit when they don't have it all together. When mothers are expected, or still expected sometimes, to that role to all look the same. And parenting can be, now we have single parents. They're trying to do it on their own. Sharonda, tell me a little bit about how you feel about that word mother. Did you always want to be a mother?
I've always wanted to be a mother, although I knew as a little girl I only wanted two kids, and that's what I had. But as far as a mother, I felt like a mother is supposed to be the nurturer. The mother is supposed to care for you when no one else does. That mother is there for you. She's in your corner. She keeps you from falling. She wants to protect you. And, you know, she wants to be the voice of reason to the child when they come home from school and maybe had a bad day or a bully. Someone picking on them, that mother, you know, should be that last word to encourage them, to let them know, you know, what they can do and who they are, although the dad is supposed to affirm the child. But the mother, it's just something to me about a mother's bond that should be there, but it's just not always there.
Amen, amen, amen. And do you agree that all mothering does not look the same? Do you both agree to that?
I do agree. Very much so. Because, you know, that just wasn't my story. I don't know if I'm getting ahead of things, but that just wasn't my story. And, you know, even though we ended up somewhere, you know, the male side got doted on, but not the female side. So even in that, we still, you know, it's hard.
Wow, very much so. Very much so. I know we have, and we're going to get deep into those stories, because it is so important that we stand on it and own up to, it's not always one-sided. It's not always about, it was great, a great experience. I tell you, and I speak from my heart. And, but if my kids, I have three, if they had to sit down, and sometimes I look at their lives now and I see I didn't do everything like God would have had me doing. And if you sat them down and they talk to you, now they're going to tell you that they love Mama because I love them, but I tell you that they got some things that they would probably have wanted me to do differently. They would have probably wanted me to do something differently. And I can see it's, I always loved being a mother, but I can understand, I've ran into a lot of women who says, I don't think I want to bring another child into, you know, the what we're going through, these seasons that we're living through.
Yes,
and there's a lot of kids out here that need the love and they have no one. I want to try to help them first, or it's just too hard. And it was a saying, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but it used to time, and it's something when they grow up, they're on your heartstrings, you know, all the time. And a mother's job is just never done. It's never done. And then it goes even beyond there. And your grandkids? I don't get to see my grandkids like I want. I would just love to just be embraced by my grandkids. And but it's not the way it is. But that love just continues to grow and grow and grow. And it's just an awesome that way. I loved my mother. I love my mother. I'm blessed that my mother is still alive, living in my life. And I look sometimes at my kids and grandkids. I'm like, how can they not want to be in closer communication and embrace the blessing that we still have her? It's just not like that sometimes. But before I open it up, I want you to know that I do have some requests that were not able to come on the line tonight. I have my niece, Candace, and Candace called me tonight, and she works in the evening. And she said, Yvonne, I want you to make sure that you give a shout-out to my mom. So to Stephanie Harwell, your daughter is sending a salute to you. She shouts out to you that you are her mother and you are an example to her. And so please receive all the love from Candace. And also to her grandmother, Tama, she wants to send a love, love, love to her grandmother, who the big mama, my mom, again, who's always been a word of wisdom to her. She also wanted to say that she couldn't go any further without sending a little love my way. And it just means a lot. She would just accept. She said, you know, Mom's my mom, but you've always been my second mom. And it just meant a lot that I'm not just Aunt Vaughn. I am actually, she looks at me a little beyond that. So I accept all of your love, Candace, that you sent this way. And we're going to open the floor up to any of the callers real quick. If they want to express, you may give your mother's name and maybe the city. If you can share a great memory that you have with your mom, or it may be something on the flip side that you're wanting prayer tonight about a relationship that you want with your mom or something. We are here to pray with you. We are here to let you know that you are not by yourself. I'm going to open the floor. Anybody who wants to talk, all lines are open. All right, I'm going to call on 842. Would you like to share? What about 717?
Yes, anyone give a shout out to my mom? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Titiana. I would like to give a shout out to my mom, LaMeka, from San Antonio, Texas. I love her very much, and she has definitely been a great mother.
You broke up a little bit. Are you still there?
Do you hear me better now?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, awesome. My name is Titiana Dumas. I just want to give a shout-out to my mom, LaMaika Dumas, from San Antonio, Texas, and she's been a great mother, and just want to tell her I love her very much.
Amen.
Anything that your mother with you, because you're, hey, getting ready to turn 24 in a couple of weeks here, so is it something that you look at your mother that you want to carry with you as you continue to grow and maybe even become a mother one day?
Definitely her work ethic and her heart for caring for other people I admire, and definitely want to take that with me growing up.
Man.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Do you have... I know that you're driving right now, and so, but if you have any prayer requests, please just jump back in and let us know, okay?
Most definitely.
Awesome. Thank you for being a part of the podcast today. All right, anyone else?
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Vaughn.
Yeah,
go ahead,
here,
sir.
Tell me. Go ahead, sir.
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, okay, there you go. I'm sorry. We kind of stepped on each other there. This is Janelle Dill. My name is Janelle Dill. I'm the host son, Vaughn's son. So, of course, my Mother's Day salutation will go out. So, obviously, the mother of my children and my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, my sister, and all the other beautiful women out there, all my aunts, all the beautiful women and mothers out there that are raising children and being impactful in the lives of those who are going to be the future, impactful leaders of our future. So just a heartfelt happy Mother's Day and love to all the mothers raising children out there, including my mother, and just much love.
Amen. Thank you.
I thank you so much, son. I love you. Thank you so much, the world, to me to hear you say. God bless you.
Thank you. And much love to everybody that put you to.
Amen.
I think I'm going to because of the previous that I'm still breaking up a little bit.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I think I'm just going to hang up and dial right back in. So it may tell you that the host has stopped, but I will dial right back in, okay?
Okay.
One moment.
Okay. I'm just filling in for a few seconds. I was just thinking about women that are stepmoms, and I'm a stepmother. And I used to not like that title because I've always wanted to be a mom. But when I realized how much I was pouring into the children that I did raise or had the opportunity to be in their life, I married my husband. He had three children, and the youngest was 2 months old. And speaking of my son, 2 months old, he was given to me to babysit. And I did not know it. It was from 2 months. It turned out to be a lifetime. So I really feel like you do not have to birth a child in order to be a mom. It is all the sacrifice and tears and all the wisdom that you pour into it. And even walking, being an example for them is very important, especially in these days and times. I experienced all the things that mothers experience, especially when they became, when he became a teenager, when they became a teenager. And even when my oldest daughter became a mother, then I stepped in those shoes and as a grandmother or a grandparent to her children. So you really didn't have to birth a child to be labeled a mother, even though I did struggle with, you know, why come, you know, I wasn't able to, you know, birth children, you know, and it was a desire that even at the age of 63 here today, I still wish that I had my own child that, you know, birthed. Sharonda, how you feel about that?
I think that's all.
Sharonda, are you on the line? Excuse me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Yes. I'm sorry. But I agree with that. I believe, you know, if God allows someone to step into a child's life, like you said, whether it was your own, you gave birth or not, if you can still get that love, the nurturing and the care that you deserve as a child, because every child deserves that. You know, I think about all the children in the foster system. You know, if we can love these children, you know, who are their parents for whatever reason are not in their lives, that's a blessing. That's a blessing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Amen.
Do we have someone?
I
don't know if our line is open, but someone else too on the line that would like to say something, share something, or even let me just go ahead and give a shout out to the mothers in my life. I would say my mom, Ruth, and we know that Ruth is one of the names in the Bible, and she was all of that. Mm-hmm. She is a friend. She is, being in age, she is now the child that God has given me. So even though she's an adult, still just being able now to turn the role around and take care of her and nurture her just like she did me is a great honor. And I'm glad that God has given me that privilege to do that. So she is a great cook. She's a woman of wisdom. She's honorable. She is a not only a mother to me, but an outstanding grandmother. She is a neighbor's mother, the church mother. She is all that. So I just thank God that he allowed me to be in her life for this time, especially these days. And, you know, being able to take care of your parent is such an honor since they've poured so much into you.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Do we have someone online that would like to share or give a shout out to their mother?
Hi, can you all hear me?
Hi, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
All right. This is Carla Foster. And yeah, there is echoing. Can you
hear
me now?
I think if everyone who's not speaking, if you would mute your phone, I think that would help. So I'll mute my phone.
Okay, can you all hear me?
Yes. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Foster.
Well, first of all, let me say that I am in agreement with the things that you said pertaining to moms and mothers and just that important role that they play in the life of children. My mom is no longer here. She passed away in 2018. So this will be year three. This will be year three. And it is sometimes a difficult journey, but, you know, God is gracious and merciful. And, you know, when I think about her, oftentimes I just think about the things that she would have said to me as we shared our day when we talked on the phone, or just sometimes just when I look in the mirror, I see her so much now than I did before. And so I do miss her. I miss her presence in my life, but I know that she poured into me and really was my shero. I read a quote that says, my mother was my role model before I even knew what the word was. I've watched how she worked. Someone mentioned their mother's work ethic. I watched how she worked. I watched how she cared for myself and my brothers. I watched how she navigated through life's difficulties. And the one thing, even though, you know, we may have had some times that we were in conflict, the one thing without doubt that I know, and I try to also convey to my children, that no matter what, she was always there for me. And so, and I've told my children, you know, we may not always agree, but I'm always here for you. And that is so important, the consistency of being present. You know, my mom worked. She was a single mom. She worked full time, but she had so much to give to us, and her time with us was quality time. So I just wanted to share that, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you for sharing.
I'd like to ask Carla a question. When you say that your mom is your hero, what would make her your hero to you? Because when I looked up the definition of hero, it's someone that is strong and someone that is defensive or your defender. So what would you say that was so outstanding, or maybe that one time that she was truly your hero for you?
Well, I use the word Shiro. Well, you know, I can remember in elementary school, and this was in the late 60s, and the schools were being integrated, and the school that I went to was a neighborhood school, and it was a mix of races that went to the school. So it wasn't a matter of never having been around, you know, any other group of people outside of African Americans. They were there, but the issue was that the teachers that they bused the teachers into our neighborhood, into our community, and those teachers had never taught African American students. And I remember fourth grade in particular, there was a teacher who she just could not handle being there. And her husband was a police officer. And she had him come to school with her. And he would stay a little while and then leave. And so, of course, you know, I went back home and told my mom, because it was like a police officer was in the room. And so she, I guess, was a PTA meeting or whatever, but I remember her telling the teacher, she said, and I remember these words so clear, she said, "You're going to have to learn how to teach these black children and bring in your husband to school in order to threaten them is not going to work. If you want them to respect you, you're going to have to learn how to teach them." And we never saw her husband again. And so just that kind of boldness, that kind of courage, the recognizing what's right. You know, I told her when I decided to become a social worker that part of that was from watching her, from how she lived, and helping people and encouraging people and giving. And so that's just one example, I think, for me, that I can say the reason I call her Shiro.
Great. Thank you so much. Sharonda, were you going to say something?
No, I wasn't going to say anything. That's a good example of a mother and what a child is looking for. So I commend her, and I thank her for her love for her mom. And, you know, even though, like you said, everything wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
She still loved her mom.
Still loved her mom. Still loved her mom. Still loved her mom. Still loved her mom. Still loved her mom. Still loved her mom. Still loved her mom. Vaughn, is that you?
Well, I am on here, but I wasn't. And I hate to, I don't want to end everything. But Sharonda, I want you to get into telling a little bit about your story.
Well, my story is a story that many children go through. My mother was 16 when she had me. My daddy was 17. They met at skate rink. But my mother, she had me, and at 9 months old, she took me to my grandmother's house, which was my dad's mom, and said she was looking for a job. And then a year later, she got pregnant with my brother, and she brought him when he was a year old, and she was still looking for a job, apparently. And long story short, we ended up with my grandmother, my dad's mom, because my mother's family took her off to California to help raise her siblings. So, you know, she had three children, actually, that she left here in Tennessee. The other brother, we don't even know, although he's here in Tennessee. We don't even know him because my dad said that wasn't his child. So me and my brother Rick, we got to stay at my grandmother's house. And so, you know, I always longed for a relationship with my mom and wondered why anybody would go off and leave a sweet little nine-month-old baby or a year-old baby, you know, just not realizing. But her dad told, my mother's dad told her to come and get us from my grandmother, but her mother would not let her come and get her children. And, so, yeah, we ended up with Mama, and Mama, she did the best she could working in people's houses. She never drove. My grandma never learned to drive, you know, but I always tried to get Mama's love. I did everything I possibly could as a child, but I couldn't get it, and that sort of set a tone for even God loving me, because I couldn't think he would love me either if nobody else did. So it was a hard childhood, and I envied every girl who had a relationship with their mother. I was angry growing up, and I always told myself it didn't matter that she wasn't there. And I'd always rehearsed what I was going to say to her if I ever saw her face to face. And God's just gently, he's so sweet and so loving and even merciful, because I didn't know her entire story, but I was so angry. But God had to deal with the anger that was inside of me, and he did. But the thing of it is, it wasn't him, it was me and my shortcomings. But I didn't meet my mother face to face till I was age 43.
Wow. God bless.
And I didn't know who she was. I didn't know where she was. I didn't know she was in California. I didn't know where she was. And I'd always look at women to see if I look like them. Could that be her? You know, could she be somewhere close? And I just never knew. I didn't know until I was grown and divorced. 2004, my Aunt Barbara, my mother's biological sister, lives here in Tennessee now. And she was the one who told me the entire story and how I have seven siblings in California.
It's really something. You know, sometimes we hear on TV that they're searching for their parents, and sometimes, even as adults, the mothers still don't want to reach out with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But you did get that opportunity. lucky to meet her.
And yes, I met her that one time and only time. I could tell she said she wanted to keep in touch, but I could tell when I called her it was forced. So what God did, he healed my heart, and it brought closure for me. At least I knew what she looked like, and at least I knew where the other half of where I came from. So it just brought closure. I wasn't trying to really form a relationship at age 43 with somebody I didn't really know anyway.
And she is still alive, right?
She is still alive. She married a man in California at age 26, although she was 16 when she had me. At 26, she married a man, and she's still married to that man today. But she doesn't ask about me. She doesn't call. She doesn't do anything. So her brother, my Uncle Glennie, we keep in touch, you know. But it must have brought some friction for him, he and his wife, because they were here back last summer and stayed for a week. But I hadn't heard from them either. So anyway, it's okay. It's all right.
How has that affected your parenting?
Well, you know, just like every generational curse, it did stifle and hinder some things. You know, it was hard for me to love because I think Lolita said it first. You have to love yourself in order to love someone else. So my parenting skills, I was hard. I know I was hard. I was hard. I was just a disciplinarian, but it wasn't because I didn't love my children, but that was all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I did the best I could, you know, until I became an adult, you know, an older adult. But it was hard. It was very hard.
You know, Sharonda, even though I know she had a partial for the males in the family versus the little girl.
But yeah.
She had such longevity.
She just didn't say it.
Yeah. And how old was she when she went home?
She was 104 when she died, and but you never heard the word, I love you. You never heard those three words. Ever. But I guess she showed it, you know, by going to work every day and doing things. But I don't know. She said a lot of hurtful things too, you know, even though she took us in. Because if you think about it, she was 42 when she got us. And that was a change for her life that probably she wasn't expecting. So I've just been looking at things with God's eyes and seeing every part, because every part plays a part. You know, and not every part plays a part right. I'm thankful we didn't end up in the foster system like so many children are in the foster system. And sometimes they get a worse deal from foster parents than they do from their regular folks.
That's right. And, you know, maybe that's the reason why God has... Because you know... the love that children need.
Yeah.
He's been working on your heart, you know, even when you couldn't even see it. And I try to tell my kids, I love you. Even if sometimes I have to step away and pray because I want you to be happy. If I'm the one bringing you unhappiness, I need to get myself together. I want your kids to know they love you, are in love with them. Maybe not the behaviors, you know, from time to time, but you love them. And that you have a brother somewhere out there that he has a story that hasn't been told.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and at least I got to meet my mother that one and only time at age 43. But I think about my brother, who's 63. He never met her. He had the means to fly to California and did so, you know, or I think on two occasions. And she promised that she would be there, and she didn't. So he's never met her. And when I was trying to tell him with my excitement, you know, he wasn't excited.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm thankful for every mother who has, you know, been there for their children and loved them through the good, the bad, the ugly, because, you know, we all have a story and a testimony, you know, and it's not always good. And there are generational curses that, you know, people live under within families, you know, so it's a lot. But I know Jesus is the healer. No matter what we go through, he's the one that brings us through.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for being a mother to the motherless. I thank you that her testimony today is the testimony of many women, men, boys, and girls. Mm-hmm. They never heard the words, I love you. They never had that arm wrapped around them to make them feel like that they're the most special thing in the world. But you've been there, and you've held them close, and you've never left them. You've never forsaken them, and I want to say thank you, Jesus. Dear Father, as you remove anger out of the hearts of some that are just broken, they're broken.
Yeah.
They're fighting, they're struggling. Without any release, but you're there. And so, our Father, which are in, I ask you to bestow, let them feel your anointing of love over them. And open their eyes so they may see someone that you're sending their way. And when that person gets to them, all they're going to have to do is be available to be used. And when they open their mouth, you're going to put the words inside of their mouth. And love is... Hallelujah. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? I just can't imagine. The first time I heard her tell her story, I just started just really thinking about, I always heard I loved you. Afterwards, we would sit down and she would tell me, now I thanked you because of this. I love you enough that I don't want you to keep doing that. It hurts me worse than it hurts you. And I used to say, yeah, sure it does. And I heard, you know, I heard those words that if I said I wanted something, my mom was a single parent, but still, she made a way to make sure I got it. So, you know, for you to be the woman that you are, I'm telling you all, this is a strong woman in Christ. This woman has a word inside of her that she don't mind sharing wherever she goes. But it's because of where she's been. Some people look at us and they look at, especially in ministers and teachers, and they think, I want what she has. I want the word that she has inside of her. To get to where she's at.
They don't want the story.
Amen. It's a strongness that you don't know my story.
Man.
The another one says, can't nobody tell it like I can tell it. Because, you know, my shoe size may be your number, but you don't know if you could walk in my shoes. See, another thing about my mother I love. My mother, like she said, was a single mother. And she was with a man at one time that she was in love with him. And he was in love with her. But one time, after one incident, I don't know what it was. I think he was drinking. But he went too far with me. He did things that he shouldn't have tried to do. And I got up and I ran. And my mom was in her bed asleep. But when I came out of the room and went across the hall into the bathroom, oh, that woman of God jumped to her feet. And she knew something. And she came in that bathroom and she said, "What's wrong with you, daughter?" I said, "Nothing, Mama." She said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, I told her his name. I said, "He tried to rape me." And that's all it took. And my mom didn't mind pulling out her gun. And by the time she got her gun, he shut the back door and ran up the hill. And we never, ever saw this man again. His family got him out of the state. The whole state. He left the state. But always, the enemy used to always say things like, "You broke up your mom's happy relationship." But before that could penetrate and stick to my spirit, my mom came to me over and over again.
Man.
Nothing is more important than you. You didn't do anything but what you should have done. She made it so clear that I understood that this was his problem. Thank you, Jesus. This was not my problem.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
But I hear so many young girls that their mothers don't believe them. And they're made to stay in the... For my mom. I thank her for their discernment and her heart. Because if she had to let me go, he may could have apologized himself out of it. And promised, you know, like the... His go that I never do it again. And because of the love that I saw between them, I may would have not said anything. But my mom knew. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else have a story they want to share or any comments? Lalita, have you ever found yourself in any situation like that?
No, but, you know, as we were sharing on when we discussed the domestic violence on how my niece had been in come against a situation like that or was in a situation like that and how she went to the church and had in confidence, you know, made it known with one of the women in the church and the woman told her that maybe it's because of how she was dressed and or how she dressed, which really put a bad taste in her mouth toward church. And still today, she still thinks that Christians don't exist. Might as well say that. But she's and she was born just. To share a little bit of her, she was born with without a mom, where her mom was deceased at the age of 6, and she has 3 children, and she is, I call her auto mom, because she's just there for her children. She everything that you would want a mom to be for her children, and she's just always on autopilot, you know, taking care of their needs and their wants and you know taking care, being their protector and being their sole provider, but she does lean and depend on God, but always acknowledges her mom as her guardian angel. So do we have anyone on the line maybe that lost their mom at an early age, or maybe mom
gave birth and you know, you live, but, you know, her life is no longer here. Any callers on the line that maybe went through something, maybe feel like their mom even hated them or wished that they didn't exist. We would love to hear your story. We would like to pray for you, love to pray for you.
Lisa, do you mind telling a little bit about your sister's experience?
She had four children at a young age, and she was a good mother because they always tell, you know, I asked them, so how did you turn out to be such a good mom? And they say they learned it from me and my mother, or they'll say granny and you. And remember, I did not birth children, but I was always raising children, even if it was friends' children. But, yes, she was murdered at the age of, I don't know, it's been 24 years, so maybe at the age of 30. But if she was on the line, she could tell you, you know, she was with her mom when her mom was murdered. And so she can tell you the time, the date, the exactly everything. At that age, she remembers everything that happened that day. And she still today is looking for her mom's a murder, still reaches out to the detective for any updates, and that's been 24 years ago.
Wow.
She is a good mom. She got involved with a drug dealer, and I guess she got so deeply involved she was not able to get out of it, but to die out. And so but other than that, as far as a good mother, you would always see her children with her. She nurtured them. She thought that was the best way to provide for them, because she could seem like, you know, give them not only what they needed, but some things that they wanted. And being a single parent, in the world today, you know, sometimes we turn to the wrong things. But I do, what I would like to share about her testimony is that I'll say for 2 months before she died, she went to start going to Bible study with me and attending Bible study and really loving it. And that was just so exciting. She was excited to ask questions, and they would always say that you're asking the right questions. Or, oh, yes, that's a good question to ask. And she would be so excited. And I believe that Wednesday she came to give me her homework and say, told me to take the homework to church, and that she wouldn't be able to go tonight. And I just believe that the Lord said, you know, while I have you, I'm just going to go ahead and take you. So I do believe that she had given her life to God, and while she was still in God's care, that he was like, let me, you know, take you. And that's just how I feel. You know, there's always another good thing out of that is that that Sunday, the services was on a Saturday, and that Sunday, quite a few of her friends gave their life to Christ, and some of them are still walking with the Lord. Yeah. So that was the blessing. Mm-hmm. God would spare one sheep to draw many sheep. So it was worth it.
Amen.
Yeah, this one will take a mother's life in the presence of her kids, you know, and for those kids to have to carry that. And so that daughter that you're speaking about, it's like she has just decided that she's going to be the best mom. So we thank Jesus for just all the things that he's pouring inside of her. And
amen.
There's killer, and you know, it's a very difficult time because, you know, in times like that, you don't know if that person was at the funeral, you know.
No.
We just don't know. And then that's the way she took it. But, you know, it was four kids and all. And
that makes me think of a scripture, Vaughn, where it talks about that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. You know, not death, nor life, nor principalities, nor demons. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And I just love him and thank him so much for how much he loves us, even when we don't feel we deserve it, even when we might not deserve it. But there's nothing, when he says nothing, he means nothing that can separate his love from us.
There's nothing. Hallelujah.
And I pray for that young woman's healing, that daughter, I pray for her healing.
Yes. Hallelujah. And what a great time for us to come to our first little break. And Sharonda just hit it on the nail, talking about the love of God. And I know that it may not always seem like that you can feel God's love, because sometimes we look at man's love, woman's love, and we try to compare. Yeah.
No comparison.
No comparison.
God makes me think of that scripture where it says how people are looking to heaven, but they're tripping over me. Don't let them trip over me, Lord. Let them look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of their faith. Don't look to man. People, put not your confidence in man. We don't look to any man, any woman, boy or girl. I don't care how long they've been in the church, what they do, what their positions or their titles, because we look to Jesus. Because we all fall short. As God says, we've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. But even in that, he still loves us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Of all the things we search for in this world, we need God. Let's just hear a song and we'll and jump into another testimony. Amen. I want God.
I don't want a form of godliness. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. And I don't want to give him second best. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. Yeah.
I don't want a form of God.
I want God.
I want God.
All I ever wanted was God.
Yeah, I don't
want to
give him second best.
Don't want to give him my second best. I want God. See, I want to live like him. Treat everybody right. And I want to look like him. Precious in his sight. Help me to love. Forgive.
God.
Yeah.
All I ever want.
Mothers, and so we run out here and we get with different women or men, and we're searching for something, but he says, seek me first in my kingdom and your righteousness, hallelujah, then all these other things will be added. So we have a lot of people on the lines tonight, and you know, you, it tells you what to do if you want to actually, as that song was playing, God said, it's a lot of people that don't know what to say. Their spirits are receiving everything that has been spoken here tonight. So praise be the name of the Lord. You never are demanded to speak or say anything. We just roll out the welcome mat. If you want to say your mother's name or you want to comment, you're more than welcome. We also have the chat invitation, the chat room open. If you signed on through your computer, you can go in there and rest out. We've had several people come in and out of there just to say hello and just to say salute to their mothers. So God bless each and every one of them also. I just want to, if you want to mention your mother or have a comment, give you a few minutes. But I also want to throw out there that if anybody is searching for a mother that hasn't, I want you to know, if you've never met Jesus Christ, the closest friend that you will ever have, the one that will always be there too. We also want to give you that opportunity. But just a few minutes for your comments. If you have them, you can take as long as you want. But then I want to ask Sister Sharonda to just speak to somebody's heart that is out there searching for a mother's love. Amen. Amen. The floor is open if you want. Amen, amen. Sister Sharonda.
Okay. We want you to know that even though you may be hurt, you may be wounded, you may be in a place where you don't know what to say, just humble yourself before the Lord and just talk to him just like you would anybody else, because he's listening. Mm. He's there. He's knocking even at the door of your heart. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If you will open the door, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. So he's standing there waiting, and he loves you so much, and he wants you to know how much you're loved, because the word of God says that when your mother or your father forsakes you, God will take you up, and he'll love you, and he'll rock you in his arms, and he'll hold you, and he knows every thought and every intent of every man's heart, every woman. When I say man, that doesn't mean woman is not mentioned, because the word of God says that there's no male nor female in him, in the word. So when we say male, we mean female as well. But God just wants you to know how much you're loved. And I'm telling you what got me through the hardest times of growing up without a mother and even a father's love was my Father in Christ, Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. That was my saving grace. And I spent time just singing songs to him and loving on him, because he's so worthy for us to worship him. And he knows our hearts. He knows your heart. He knows what you want to bring before him and talk to him about. And all you have to do is just be honest and just talk to him, and then you'll feel his love. You'll feel him encompass you in love, because at his right hand, there's fullness of joy, and there's pleasures evermore. And he's there. He's waiting just to hold you and to love you, to tell you who you are. It was God who told me who I was and whose I was. Because man had always tried to put a label on me. We were the poor kids that could never have anything, do anything. But God says the devil is a lie, because God knew me before he formed me in my mother's womb, and he knows you as well. And all you have to do is just talk to him and cry out to him. And don't matter what it looks like to other people, honey, because you're getting healing and you're getting the deliverance that you need. And that it sometimes you just have to cry. And just, yes, the things we went through were painful. It was hard. Mm-hmm. It was very hard. But I'm telling you, when he pours his love in you, there's nothing that nobody can do to take that away from you. And he loves you right now. And he's waiting for you to just reach out to him. He said, if you lift your right hand up to the heavens, he said, I will take your hand and I will lift you up out of everything. You may be going through a dark season in your life, but God says he will take you up.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. And once she allowed God to minister to her heart, I mean deep in her spirit, I'm telling you, it has been some. It says seek him and all these things will be added.
Yes. It says taste and see that the Lord is good, because he
yes.
is.
Yes,
he's
he
better
is.
Than any natural man, any woman, any man can be. There's nothing that can fill the void except yes. Jesus Christ.
Yes. Hallelujah. And she has houses has been Mercedes. This has just been bought for her, just given to her, because God is just wanting him to see. This is just things. I'm on the cat on top of all the hills, girl. Please, I got you. I love you. I got more
yes.
than you can ever ask for.
And it's not where you start, it's where you end up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she's not afraid to go and walk. She's not afraid to open her mouth and tell of the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Nope.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so I will and skills coming from under such a strong woman, you know. How is her parenting skills? What does she take? And Peter has how many kids?
Three.
She has three, yeah. Amen. And I think about Lolita. I can remember when I first met her, I thought she was one of the prettiest women in the world. And she just, I don't know. I used to look at her just like, wow, what is that like? You know, what is that like? And for her just to be on. Her strength came out in ways that I didn't see. See, I saw the outer appearance when I saw Miss Ruth.
I saw
just that she was tall and she wore the heels. She worked with the state and I saw all of that. I thought that was just got your attention. That would get your attention. But I found out as years went on, Miss Ruth was much stronger on the inside than she could ever show on the outside. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
I look at some of the things that, just the things that I know of. I'm not talking about the everyday life things. Just the things of not just one, but two kids has been murdered. This woman, she's not just been a mother, she's a grandmother. She's a friend. She's on the earth. She's on the mother's board. She's there. She's still. Wow.
Yes. And she was 62 when she adopted all four of the children.
Say it one more time.
And she had to adopt all four. She had to adopt all four of the children because it was four different fathers. So she had to go to court and adopt all four of them.
And wasn't she on leave or something for that?
She was in a parent. They put her in a parent magazine to be that age, 62, and you know, like that's like having all because they were all young. So she was starting all over. We were grown and out of the house, and they were young. So she started all over with three girls and one boy. Yeah, and when you say that, I do think about that because being the oldest at home with her, and she had three husbands, and all three of them were abusive. So she's went through a lot to still be able to stand and still be an example for not only her children but for her grandchildren and her great grandchildren.
Great grandchildren. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Some of the things that we go through. But isn't it good? I thank God that we don't look like what we've been through, right?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes.
And that's why it's so good for us to open our mouths and testify. Because some young woman on here may be going through some of the same things right now.
Yes. You can make it.
Amen. Amen. You can make it. You can go through that abusive relationship. I invite you to go back in the archives. And our last podcast, we was just talking about abuse. All types of different abuse. And we had a guest speaker who has been through some stuff. But God. Yes, yes, yes. So if you feel like you're at the end of your road, it's not over. It's not over. You too can make it. You can make it. And if you need any help or assistance, remember you can contact us. We are Tri-Anointed Women of Christ. I am Minister Vaughn. I have Sister Lolita. And I have Sister Sharonda. And in that triangle, God has covered you with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he's put something inside of us that he wants us to share with you. So whatever you need, remember, you can reach us. You can even leave a message here at the blog talk. You can contact me again at 210-793-1370. At that time if you would like. But just know that you're not by yourself. And the story that you're in the midst of right now, it's not over. It's not over. We're getting ready for our closing remarks, but I want to remind you that there's no better time than now to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm not talking about you're trying to get the relationship that your mom had, your sister had, but it's you. It's you that's in need. You see, because every man, no man knows the day, the time, nor the hour that the plan is written that you got to return back from which you've come. Yeah, this is not our home. Limit on that. Let me just say this. We know not the time. If you're 25 years old, but your destiny ends here on this side at 26, you're very old right now. You're very old. If you're 50 years old and you're going to live until you're 100, you're very young right now. But the thing is, we know not the time of the day or the hour. We know not how and when it's going to happen. Why not be ye also ready? Let the world get you caught up in some cave that you're all these strongholds is holding on to you that you can't reach out and feel the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loves you. He wants
Amen.
You. Just express whatever it is. He's willing. He's listening. Sharonda said, if you just stretch your right hand to the Lord, hallelujah, he will meet you where you're at. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember times my mom would be going through, and I would just and saying, Lord, I stretch my hands to you. She's just saying, I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to go. Lord, I stretch my hands to you. All of my help comes from you. And you may feel like that right now, but I want you to know, he has that peace that you're looking for. He has the outcome already in the plans for you. I've learned Amen. That I don't get to know when he knows my beginning from my end. So I just trust in him. I just hide in him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Whichever one
God wants
to go next.
God wants to deliver people out of abusive relationships. He wants to deliver them from just giving themselves to men. And, you know, they call it other things back in the day, but it's nothing more than young women just giving themselves to men. And God wants to destroy that stronghold. He wants to break that thing off of you. You know, you're sitting in and pondering, what should I say? What should I do? Just do it. Just move. Just move. Just leave, you know, because you're not a punching bag. God has not made you such. And you have to leave that relationship. And God has mm-hmm. so much better for you. There's a godly someone there waiting for you. But he's waiting on you to get it right with the Lord. And then he'll mm-hmm. come and be the person God has for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So many people feel like that they're nothing if they don't have a man or a woman in their life. But put mm-hmm. nothing before God. Put nobody before
nothing.
God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And let's not forget men that are the mother to their children, because there are so many men where the birth mother has went off and left the child with the father, and he stepped up and leaned and depended on maybe his mother or aunt or grandmother or sister or just himself leaning on God raise his child or to raise his sister. So we toodles mm-hmm. and give hats off to even the men that are mothers to children or even the men that have stepped up to go and foster children, because there are mothers mm-hmm. Fathers that mm-hmm. or men that have also fostered children. So we thank God also for those you know, parents. I know my brother has had three women in his life, and all three of them had children. And even though he's not with them, they still look, and it's been 20 years between them, and they still look up to him and reach out to him, and they're welcome in his home. And he's married, and they can come and spend the night in his home. And, you know, so he had respect for them, and they had respect for him, and that's why they still have mm-hmm. that bond. So there are some great mm-hmm. men still out there that are equipped to nurture children without the mother being present.
And by you saying that, I salute you, Lolita, just for being that stepmom or that bonus mom, because I know that's not easy. You know, sometimes the kids may get mad and say all kind of different things to you. You know, you may or may not have even heard it. You're not my mom. But you got to mm-hmm. stand in there. You got to stay in there. And so I know mm-hmm. that that's not easy. That's not easy. And so for these women who are marrying these men that have kids, and I salute the men that for standing up and saying, hey, I got kids, and if you want me, you want them.
Amen.
To actually stand there and be those stepmom and foster mom, I salute you. I salute you. Yeah. And how many kids are you the stepmom to, Lolita?
Mm-hmm. I had three, and I have two grandchildren. Well, three grandchildren now. So,
wow.
I had my own self on the back, but it was such a great experience, and it was a learning process with mm-hmm. God, because I
it deepened my relationship with God. So mm-hmm. I think you stole that journey for me to run toward him. I didn't have anybody else but him. Nobody could do anything but him. He was the only one I had to run to. Now that the children are grown and now the grandchildren, because I had to raise the children, but the grandchildren, their parents are raising them. So I thank God for that, because I'm a little older now and then times change.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I can do the same thing I did then. I could get down on my knees then. I don't know if I can get,
that's right. Yeah.
Get down there as quick as I can now. But God's still good. He was faithful. And I trust him and believe him now like I did then. So thank
Very
you, Mom, for that.
Awesome. All right. Well, Sister Sharonda, do you have any last statements that I have before I let you pray us out?
No, I just think it's been a blessing. I thank God for allowing me to be a part and each of us being an instrument of righteousness in his hands. And I just thank God that even though someone didn't say it, I just believe God has ministered to people tonight through each of us. And I just thank God that, you know, the seed was sown. The seeds were sown.
Yeah.
And I just pray healing.
Hallelujah. And right before she prayed, I just remind you, if you have a topic that you think is untouchable, just present it to us and let us pray about it. Let us pray about it and see how God brings it out. The biggest thing is, I don't want you to say, I'm embarrassed of what I'm going through. I'm embarrassed of how far I've let this go. But I want you to know there is no judgment. There is no judgment.
Amen. Been there, done that.
Amen. Yes. Amen. All right, sister.
Okay, well, let's just go before the Lord. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Almighty God. Father, your word gives us instruction. So more than anything, I want to pray the full armor of God upon each and every one of us right now, Father God, because we know that the enemy will come. He tries, but he will not be successful. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for the full armor of God that you have given us to dress in, Father, for battle. Father, anytime you use us, there's always going to be those repercussions. So, Father, we thank you right now that we have on the helmet of salvation, holding the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes of your heart, Almighty God. Father, your word says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So thank you, Father, that we can have the mind of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Father, that in Philippians, your word says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are kind, whatsoever things pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are winsome and gracious and of a good report. You said, if there be any thankworthiness, O God, think on these things. So, Father, we thank you that our heads are covered. And, Father, we yield unto you our minds, our wills, our emotions, O God. Father, we thank you right now that we have on the breastplate of righteousness which is faith and love. We walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you, Father, that you're filling us with your agape love and not this conditional love that man has. We thank you, Father, and we know it's not by our righteousness,
For our righteousnesses are only as filthy rags, but because of Jesus, hallelujah, glory, 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 hallelujah, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you that our loins are girded about with truth, that we will live truly, deal truly, speak truly with all men at all times, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that our feet are shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace, that we will be peacemakers for us, even in the times of trouble, having peace and pursuing peace with all men, Father, being ministers of reconciliation of peace, oh God. Father, we will take the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the wicked, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and in the face of all tests, trials, temptations, tribulations, we will cut to pieces every snare of the enemy by speaking the word of truth, O Lord. Father, we thank you for your armor, and we pray for all people, all who didn't say a word tonight, that's okay, Lord. You love them right where they are. And Father, we thank you that the next time you will open forth their mouth, and they will open their mouth, and you will feel it, because that's what you promised us in your word. You said, open forth your mouth. I will feel it. So, Father, we thank you for every ear, every open ear tonight, oh God, every opened heart tonight, oh God. We ask you to bless them, to honor them, and to love them, oh God. And we thank you for the good mothers. We thank you for the bad ones, even, Father. We thank you for all mothers. And we pray for love and forgiveness for those that may have had a horrible childhood and they just can't figure out what we're talking about. Lord, we pray for forgiveness in their hearts. And forgiveness is not for the other people. It's for them. That's because that's when you bring healing to us. When we forgive those who separated us or mistreated us or neglected us, when we forgive, so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We ask you to bless every home and every heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And it just says, I am love. I am love. And we will see you in 2 weeks. So look forward to the next. We will be airing the different topics, but we'll see you in 2 weeks. Until then, don't block anything that God is trying to tell you tonight. Open your ears to hear. I am love. You are love. Amen.
There are no
His love would never run dry.